Greetings to each one, friends and visitors alike. It's good to be back among you and with you. Seems like it's been a few weeks. And I bring you greetings from the West, from our loved ones in Manitoba, and blessings to each one here this morning. I was blessed this morning already with the singing and with the devotions, with the children's lesson, and the messages of the past few weeks here. Thank you, Brother Wayne, for sharing the other week. It's all pushing together, and I didn't realize it, and that's okay. That's not what we're supposed to realize. We ought to walk with the Spirit of God and allow Him to use whatever it is He wants to use to speak to us this morning. And so this morning, I want to open up the Word of God, and I'm going to stay with one text this morning. And I'm going to be brave and somewhat courageous, because likely we have never, ever in our church had a message along this line. And there's much confusion, there's many ideas out there, there's many views on the return of the Lord. And I'm not going to get into so many of the details, because the details are not as important to me as the fact this morning is, are we ready? Are we ready? That's the detail. That needs to be the focus, dear people. And so we want to look at that in greater depth this morning. I said there's many ideas, and yes, there is. There's many views. We have questions. Different ones have asked, how does Israel fit into this picture? I ask us, what has created the position that we currently have? And most of all, within the church, the body of Jesus Christ, is it safe to ask questions about these things? And I think that's one of my gravest concerns among us as we consider some of these things, is the body, the church, the bride, this little body here, is it a safe place to ask a difficult question? I've been in conversations on this subject in the past where there was anger involved. And God help us that we never allow that to happen. I think it's all right to be passionate about it. I have no problem with that. But let us not allow the flesh to come forth. And that applies to any subject, all right? If we believers in Jesus Christ, if we can fulfill the scriptures of 1 John, then we ought to love one another, okay? And that must be preeminent. That must be very important among us. So do we have that love one for another? I think the thing that stimulates my heart the most this morning and in the past couple of weeks as I've pondered this message was the fact that there's many, including ourselves and myself, we get caught up in the political environment of 2025. And we begin to absorb and bring upon ourselves the worry and the concern of the current state of affairs that we see in our world. And I appreciated Brother Wayne's message, the all-sufficiency of the Word of God. We are given instructions within the Word of God on how to relate to this stuff. And so I want to bring us back to that point, okay? The text this morning is coming out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. I'm going to read a few verses there to get started here this morning. The disciples, here we see in the Gospel of Matthew, did the same thing that many of us do. And whether we want to admit it or not, we do what the disciples did here. And it says they came to Jesus. And in this particular case, according to one of the other Gospels, it was only four of them that came to Jesus. And I think that's a unique picture to me. But anyway, we're not going to get tied up in that. Mark 13:3 tells us exactly who was there. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? One. Two, what shall be the sign of thy coming? Two, and three, and the end of the world. Three questions they ask. And if I was to jump ahead of myself this morning, we would find out and discover that Jesus answers two of these questions. He only answers two of those three questions. And I stopped and I trembled at that for just a moment, because I've lived life long enough, different times, that I have a lot of questions about things. And questions are all right. I've told you young people there's no dumb question, right? You've heard that from me a few times. And I say that to the rest of us this morning. There is no such thing as a dumb question. You with me? The disciples come to Jesus and ask him three questions that were pertinent. Are we asking questions this morning? I tell you, it's all right to ask questions. But remember, the answer to your question must be from here. Because we believe in this book. It stood the test of time for some 2,000 years now. It was relevant in the Old Testament. It's relevant in the new dispensation of time. It's still got questions for all time. All right? It's not changed. Let me give you an example this morning. And I'm going to mix a little politics in here, so please bear with me. Don't throw me out yet, okay? We have a leader in the North American world that passed a bill and said there are only two genders, male and female. Oh, surprise! Hello! We've known that since Genesis chapter 1. It's nothing new, dear people. It's still relevant today. It's wonderful that somebody caught on to it again. But just to reinforce that fact, there are two genders, male and female, all right? So it's all right to pass a bill and say, there's only two genders. Wonderful. That's a reinforcement of Judeo-Christian values that we have within the Word of God. God's Word didn't change for some 2,000 years or 4,000 years or 6,000 years. It hasn't changed. God still said it. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's still true. All right? I'd encourage you to believe it because it's true, all right? So here are the examples we have of questions that are coming out in our world today. And so the disciples asked the question, tell us, when shall these things be? And if you notice, this is the question Jesus doesn't answer. You see, we're not given in the scriptures a clear direction that on such and such a date or in such and such a time, Jesus will return. The warning to us in Scripture is, and I want to leave this with us this morning, because you got to get a hold of this stuff. The warning is, be ready. Be ready. Don't mess around. Don't put off for today what you can, don't put off for tomorrow what you can take care of today. Jesus is calling all men and women to repentance and to believe on him. If there's sin in your life, repent. I don't know how to paraphrase that, dear people. But I just know the Bible says that if there's sin, we need to repent. And if there's all kinds of things and encumbrances in our lives that are hauling us down and rotting and robbing us of things, get real with the Word of God and allow it to speak to your heart and repent. Turn from it. Go a different direction. If you're participating in something that has led you into sin, I say repent and go a different direction. If there's relationship issues in your life and you can't get along with your fellow man and sister, be willing to have a look at your heart and say, I'm willing to receive from God's word that's sin. I want to repent and go in a different direction. You might be amazed what happens with relationships. Amen? It's all right to say that here, by the way. It's not for me, but it's for your assent of the word of truth to God. Jesus doesn't answer their question as to when he comes. But he does answer their question, what it's going to look like and what are the signs that are going to be when he comes and of the end of the world. And we're going to look at a few of those things this morning briefly. I'm glad somebody forgot to turn the clock ahead. That means I got another hour and a half. That's great. Jesus answered and said unto them, do you get it? He says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. What does that word mean? That means believing something that isn't true. All right? Jesus warning to the disciples here, to these four or five disciples that were with him here, right out of the gate, right squarely in their face, he's telling them, don't be deceived. I'm not going to stand here this morning and advocate pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. That's not what I'm after this morning. But I am asking you this morning, don't be deceived in what you believe and what you've, and to the conclusions that you've come to. Don't be deceived. Not just that. Don't be deceived with what the world has to offer you. Don't be deceived with what modern-day Christianity has to offer to you. I'm saying, don't be deceived. There are many deceptions in our world today. I see things. I'm burdened. And as I get involved and experience and see different churches functioning, and I see what goes on in various settings, I'm burdened in my heart, and I come back home, and I have to ask the same question. Are there ways in which we are conducting ourselves that we are becoming deceived? And I plead for us to take a real hard look. First of all, at yourself, please. Please take a hard look at yourself. Look at your home. Look at the things that you're involved in. Look at the things that you subscribe to. Look at the things that you buy into. Look at the things that you hold up with a high standard. Is it rooted in the Word of God? Or are we being deceived? You got to ask yourself the question. I'm not going to make the applications here this morning of a whole lot of identifiable things. I'm relying on the power of the Word of God that says to us, to you and I this morning, don't be deceived. We know that in the last days, deception is going to run wild. It hasn't changed since the Garden of Eden. Did Lucifer not deceive Adam and Eve? Did he not try to show them something that looked good? That actually felt good? That tasted good? He showed it to them and he says, look, if you eat, you'll be wise. Take the fruit, eat it. And Eve ate the fruit. And she says to hubby Adam, take some too. And he ate the fruit. This morning I'm asking us, what fruit are you eating? What fruit are you eating? We heard Brother Claudio talk about it this morning. Modern day psychology. I tell you, it's a devilish fruit to be eating. That which is of worldly psychology is devilish. Don't eat the fruit. It's not such a big deal as what it was back 20 years ago. But there was this phenomena that went around in Mennonite circles of paying $400 or $500 for a black box. And you put it in your child's crib, and they'll somehow sleep better. Their tummy ache will go away. What fruit are you eating, dear people? It was proven over and over that this thing's satanic, and it has ties to devilish things of the devil. Why are we eating the fruit? What doors have we opened for the evil one's attack into our midst? And into our homes and our families and our churches. God have mercy on us. Be careful of the fruit you're eating. What about your culture? Can I dance on that parade for just a little bit? It's a burden to my heart. There is no power in your culture, in your heritage. We prophesy and meditate and tell everybody how wonderful our Mennonite heritage is. God have mercy on us. If you're eating that fruit, I'm afraid it's going to take us down the wrong road. to fights and splinters and divisions all over the church. Our churches in the local community are made up of splits and divisions that have happened, and it's been for a long time. God help. Are we not interested in somehow breaking that cycle? Or are we just willing to continue on with the iniquity of sin and keeping on doing things the same way, somehow expecting a different result? Would you be poured out like wine upon the altar? Would you be broken? Would you be so one in me that I can do in you whatever it is that I want to do? That's what God is saying to us this morning. Is he competing with your culture? Is he competing with your lifestyle? Is he competing with what you think? Is he competing with the ideologies that you've absorbed? What's he competing with? God said, there will be no other gods before me. You see, God is singular in this picture. He's not interested in having a debate with you or with your ideas. God is saying, here's my way. Here's my ideas. Here's the way of truth and of life. Are you willing to grasp it and hold on to it? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you want to sow that stuff in your life, if you want to sow it in your life and it becomes a way of life, the reaping ain't going to be pretty, dear people. You've heard me talk about, I have a passion. I'm interested in the multi-generational church. I haven't seen it yet too much. I haven't seen much of the multi-generational church. If the church has continued to the next generations, it's missing a lot of people. And I think we've all been part of churches and in situations where we could go back, and maybe I'm a little older than the rest of you, and that's okay. But I think of all of the people that have come through the church doors that are lost and into the world today. We have not been successful. Our heritage has not been successful. I'm sorry. It hasn't worked very good. Are we hungry for the Word of God? Are we hungry for the pure Word of God? The Holy Word of God? The Word of God that has every resource available to us to fight any battle for anything, any time. Don't be deceived. Many shall come to you in my name, having a good word. Has anybody heard some good words from different people? Sorry to put your hand up. Yeah. Many will come to me, come in my name, saying, I'm Christ. And he says, I shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. Dear people, are we living in 2025 in such a way as to be troubled by everything that's going on around us? Yeah. It's easy to get caught up in this. What's tariffs going to do to the price of oranges? I don't know. But we get worried about it. Okay? We get all bent out of shape over how much more it's going to cost to live. People, look up! These things are going to happen. They're going to come upon us. There are going to be rumors of wars and things happening in our world. You can't stop it. God has said it's going to happen. And rest assured, it will. It's coming. Or is here already. Don't be deceived by this stuff. While we're all captured together in our situations and fights and battles and carrying on the way we do sometimes in our various situations, we're missing the mark. Because these things are coming and we're not being prepared for the things that are coming. God help us. Don't be deceived. Don't get caught off guard by the things that are going on around you. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. You ever heard of those things? It says all these things are the beginnings of these sorrows. I had to ponder as I was meditating and praying on my way home. On our way home, when we were flying, I was pondering. We have already experienced in North America a taste of being delivered up. If you don't believe me, what was the whole exercise of COVID? There were preachers of the gospel. Churches were shut down. There were preachers of the gospel here, even in North America, that were imprisoned. And you think that might just been a happening that occurred at a period of time? No, with all the other prophecies and the things that we see in the scriptures being fulfilled, I believe this is a foretaste of what, this is based on the book of opinions of Kevin. These things are coming upon the earth, and they're the beginning. They'll deliver you up to be afflicted. They're going to kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. See, you're not joining a band or a crowd that's very well loved. And I'm sure if you get into the core of the city and the core of the streets and you start preaching the gospel there, you'll find out. We're not loved that much. We're not cared for very much. We become a threat. For us to stand up and say that there's only two genders in the mixed world in which we live in today, guess how much that can get you into trouble. He goes on to say, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Dear people, many times we get exposed to various ideologies and doctrines and people's ideas about things. And I want to be careful this morning myself that I don't fall into this trap. And we can be so easily deceived into believing things that aren't entirely true. That's what you call deception. Are you aware of it? You have endless resources. God has given us an ability to think. What are we doing? Are we teaching our children to think? Are we teaching each other to think? Talked to someone not long ago. Have you ever thought about critical thinking? It's actually a good idea. What's going to happen? If I make this decision, what's the result of that? Where is it going to take me? It's called thinking. God has given you a capacity to discern that. If we keep on in this manner, where are we going to end up? Think about it. Measure it according to the Word of God. Take a look at it. Critical thinking. And because iniquity, or better, I could say, because of a sinful way of do things, the love of many shall wax cold. I think this is one of the greater, I was pondering this passage of scripture the last number of weeks, and I considered where I was and where I was going and where I am and coming home again. I don't know how to paraphrase this any different for us to understand it better. Because of a pattern of sinful ways of doing things, the love of many will wax cold. Dear people, that was the warning to the Laodiceans. In Revelation it says, you've left purposefully. You've left your first love. You've walked away from it. I'm telling you this morning, based on the authority of God's word, we are walking away from our first love when we allow sinful ways of iniquity to remain and become a pattern of life. Are you aware of it? Are you thinking about it? Are you willing to ponder? Are you willing to let the Spirit of God bring conviction into your heart and you say, that's not working? This church building program isn't working. This ideology isn't working. Are we willing to stand up as a people and say, yeah, it's not working. And come back to the pure Word of God that has absolute instructions. But it says, and I want to leave you with this morning, and I'm not done yet, by the way, but I want you to write this in your footnotes. It says, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. I see here an endurance clause. You with me? There's something that is required of you and me. It's called endurance. Now, many years ago when I went to school and we went to a gym class, and our gym teacher would often require of us to do, us fellas anyway, to do 25 push-ups. And for some that was really easy, and others that was tough. But he didn't let you quit till you were done. You couldn't go and play volleyball or floor hockey or do the dodgeball. The things that were fun, we couldn't do until we had endured till the end. And so in various stages along the wall, there was different ones that were standing and waiting for the slow boys to get their 25 push-ups in until they got done. But to those that endured to the end, there was a reward. Now, that's a simple illustration that come to me as I think. The same is true in the spiritual realm, dear people. There's things coming upon us in our world today. We can't stop it. There's deception all around. There's all things, bad things happening. I get it. But to you, the child of God this morning, hallelujah, it says, to you who endure, you will be saved. Amen. Does not something move from here to here and you remind your face that you can be happy? Yeah. Like, I mean, it ought to change you, dear people. To be in Christ, to be in the Holy Ghost living in your life. A new creature in Christ Jesus, separated from these old things. Guess what? When that happens in your heart, your face gets notified, all right? It begins to show off who you are and what you are. We can endure to the end. Why? Because we have access to the unlimited resources of the Lord Jesus Christ through His Holy Spirit to remain righteous and pure and holy and live unto the end. And run our course. Paul said, I've run my course. I've kept the faith. Whoops. It sounds like he did something. Yeah, I kept the faith. I stayed in the faith. And now for me there's laid up a crown of righteousness. Hallelujah. Does that not thrill you a little bit this morning? When ye there shall, therefore, and he switches gears here, and he begins to answer another question. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. This is talking about the Antichrist. Then let them which be in the Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let them which is in the field return back and take to his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be a great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever yet shall be. I'm just going to stop there for a minute. I set my Bible down. Now we're going to go back to opinions, okay? I've been pondering what's been happening in our world, especially in the last 3 months. And think with me. Number one, the modern day evangelical world, and we have friends that were caught up in this thing in a big way. When the election took place in November in the US, this man was set up because of some of the Judeo-Christian values in which he holds, was set up as a savior for America. And I'm not going to argue the point that God raised him up. and he tore the other one down. I'm not here to argue that point. I just want to make us aware this morning. Let us not put our confidence in a man who maybe will express various values and truths that we would identify with. Because on the flip side, he's advocating a one-world government very strongly. Why would Canada need to join them? Why would Greenland need to join them? Why is there an effort to bring the European Economic Community all together as one? Yeah, Bible's clear on what's going to happen. We know the roadmap. If you want to know what's going to happen, it's all here. I know that. I believe that. Let us not be deceived, because as fast as this thing looks like it could be going the right direction, it could reverse and go bad. Our confidence needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ and his return. That's where our confidence must be. Be not deceived. Don't be deceived with the lip service in the media of today telling us that some good things are about to happen. Don't be deceived by that, dear people. Let's come back. This is telling us what's going to happen. It's here. It's not hidden from us. We know what's going to happen in the end of the days. Let me read on. Verse 22, and except those days should be shortened. That tells me it ain't going to be pretty, all right? But he that will endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Verse 13, let's go back to verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. God's got you in mind. He's got you covered. He's interested. If any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. And I don't know, in my experience, there were equals that were established with Jesus Christ, and this verse meant something to me. And through the various movements that came through the church in the 80s and in the 90s, these things became very relevant. For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and they're going to be able to show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That tells me there's some things going on. There's some powers out there in this world that are pretty powerful, and they're able to deceive you and I. Are we willing to be aware? Are we willing to take a hard look at it? Behold, I've told you, and I've warned you. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, don't go forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. Why? Why would Jesus say that? What? Because it's absolutely against anything that he said, or that God has said to us, even to the prophets and through the apostles. You see, the fact pattern is what God says about himself and how it's going to happen. That's the fact pattern. Don't get sidetracked with the things that take us hither and yon and all over the place, believing a whole lot of things. That's the recipe for deception. Believing that which is not true and believing that it is true. This is how Jesus is coming. And this is why he says, don't believe it if they say he's here and there and all over the place. For as the lightning coming out of the east shineth even unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Dear people, you aren't going to have time to get and robe up your white horse and get along with the band. It ain't going to happen. It's going to be poof. Because that's how lightning is. I haven't seen too many times in my life where lightning shone for 5 minutes, giving me time to get ready. Do you think our friend Sheldon on the other morning had time to get ready? We trust God. We don't know. I don't know what God's going to require of you or I when he comes, whether it's for us as individuals or whether he comes for us as a church. But I'll guarantee you, I don't believe there's going to be a lot of time. Don't bank on it. Don't count on it. In the twinkling of an eye, the word says, the Lord is going to return. Are you ready? Are you ready? Verse 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered, or better interpretation, vultures, be gathered together. Dear people, I want us to stop and just ponder this for a little minute. What's a carcass? A carcass is something that's dead, right? If you got a groundhog carcass, it's a groundhog carcass and it's dead. If it's a skunk that's dead on the road, that's a carcass. He's dead. If a cow dies, it's dead. If you or I die, we're dead, okay? Physically here on planet Earth, we're dead. I looked at this verse and I meditated on it much. And if you look at the preceding verses and what Jesus says here, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. Because where there is something dead, the vultures all come together to gather around it. Dear people, can we help you understand this morning what he's saying here? Don't gather around dead things. And it goes back to where I started the message off this morning. Ideologies, cultures. I'm telling you, it needs to be dead. And if it's dead, don't gather around it. Repent of it. Move on from it. But don't gather around dead things. If it's some psychological idea from the world, it's dead, dear people. Don't gather around it. Sometimes in our world today, and especially in modern-day Christendom, we have so resisted things in the world, and rightly so. And we've gone from one ditch into the next. And I'm telling you this morning, what's in the ditch is still dead. It's still dead. And you fill in those blanks, what that is. I used an example earlier about the black box. That was born out of resistance and rebellion to the medical world of today. And I'm not advocating and defending the modern day medical world and what's all behind it and what they do. I'm not defending that, please. But I'm telling you, the black box was the other ditch. And modern and Christendom, that it looked like something that might work, lurched into that ditch and embraced it and gathered around something that was dead, thinking that there was some power there. Be careful. I plead with us this morning. Be careful what you believe that could deliver you. I'm telling you, it might be dead. The only deliverance that I see is Jesus Christ crucified and rose again. That's the delivering power today, dear people. Be careful what you believe that transforms your home, your life, your church, whatever the case might be. I'm telling you, it's dead. Don't gather around as the vultures over a dead carcass, over things that are dead. But gather around and embrace the things that represent life and truth and holiness and righteousness. Gather around that. It will be deliverance to you, dear people. It will put joy in your heart. It'll put a spring in your step. You will be a new creature, dear people. Gather around this thing. It's life and power. Through the Holy Ghost. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, and with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. As I was pondering this, and you may have heard this illustration before from me, and I'll use it again one more time. Back in the 40s, my dad was a young man. He was likely 20 years old at that time. And they're putting hay away in the barn. And they're discussing scriptures, which is good. And in those days, we didn't have little square bales. We had piles of hay that came up on a lift and got set up there, and they'd fork it into the corners of the barn. It was called hard work. They didn't have square bales and round bales and all the tight bales and bale bundles and all the things that we have today. It was just hard work. And so they'd get into deep discussion while walking back and forth on top of loose hay and falling and getting up and taking the next fork load over. And this idea was hatched in these massive discussions that used to happen. And there was a man who said, if that verse is true in verse 31, and we're going to be gathered together as the elect from the four winds of the earth, then I want to get as far west as I can possibly go so that I can be one of the first ones that's gathered together. Now, we all laugh at that and sput that and mock that and say that's craziness. Guess what? He believed it. This is my warning to us. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He believed that. And he picked his family up, and they moved as far as they could to northern BC, believing that he would be one of the first ones that gets gathered up together to meet the Lord in the air. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Don't read into things that are not there. Don't develop an ideology of something that was not what God was intending to say or do. And 70 years later, what's the result? His children are all in the world, and he's a 90-year-old bitter man in a nursing home. Bitter. Bitter. Angry at life. Bitter. Because nothing worked out, and the Lord still hasn't returned, and his family's gone. I'm telling us, based on the authority of God's word, we need each other to look at the word of God constructively with critical thinking, receive what it has to say, or else we will latch on to dead things and gather around dead things and feast on dead things. That's my warning to us this morning. Don't feast on dead things. Be aware of the signs. One of the last points I have. Don't worry. Let not your heart be troubled. I want to encourage us with that this morning. There's some pretty negative things happening in our world. I get it. And we can get caught up in this, but Jesus is telling us, don't worry. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God and in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you, that when I come again, you can be with me forever. Are we? back to where I started this morning. Are we ready to go? Are we ready that in the twinkling of an eye, when the Lord returns, that we can so be with him forever and ever? My last question to us, and this is the hardest one to ask, and it's the one that I run into from time to time that burdens my heart. And here goes. Do you want to go? Do you want to go? Or is it more comfortable hovering over the dead carcass? Is it more comfortable caught up in whatever it is that you're caught up in? You fill in the blanks. I'm not the Holy Spirit this morning. Do you want to go to meet the Lord in the air? Or is it easier and better and more comfortable to stay latched on to whatever it is that's dead? I know I've mentioned a few dead things this morning, and I make no apology for that. I plead with us, cling to things that are life, Jesus Christ. Gather around things that are life and feast on those things. Don't feast on dead stuff. The question is, do you want to go? Do you want to go when the Lord returns? I don't know how he's returning. Pre-trip, mid-trip, post-trip, after-trip. I have no idea. I'm not going to stand here and argue that point this morning. I am going to argue the point that based on the authority of God's word, he is coming again. He will return, and he will take his bride, the church, out of this world. Are you ready to go? Do you want to go? If you don't want to go, I'd like you to put your hand up so that I can pray for you. Because I trust everyone under the sound of my voice this morning wants to go. May the Lord bless.